Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. I'm reading today from a book of sermons by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, Sermons for the Troubled and Tried, it's called. And this chapter, chapter 2, begins impotence and omnipotence. We'll read about half of this message today. Impotence and omnipotence. He uses John chapter 5, verses 5 to 9. As his text. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said to him, "Will you be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked. This man had been lying with many others around the pool, hoping that it would be stirred by an angel and that he might be put into the water first, and so he might be healed. There he waited long and waited in vain. But why did he wait? Because Jesus was not there. And where Jesus is not, you must wait. If it's only an angel in a pool, you must wait. And one may get a blessing, and many may get no blessing. But when Jesus came, there was no waiting. He walked in among the crowd of sick folk, spied out this man, bade him take up his mattress and walk home, and he was healed at once. Now, I commend this man for waiting. I admire him for his patience, his perseverance. But I beg you not to make his case your own. He waited, for Jesus was not there. You may not wait. You must not wait. Jesus is here. There was necessity for him to wait. As I've told you, there was an angel and a pool and nothing more. But where Christ is, there should be no waiting. Any soul that believes in Christ today, tonight, will be saved tonight. Any soul that looks to Christ tonight shall be saved, even though he looks from the ends of the earth. You may look now. No, you're commanded to do so. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. There in that pew, or in yonder aisles, or if you turn your eye by faith to Jesus, the living one, on the throne of the highest, you shall obtain immediate cure. Now, waiting is all very well at the pool of Bethesda, but waiting at the pool of ordinances, as I've heard some say, is not according to the scriptures. I read nothing about waiting there. But I do read this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. However, for the help of some who have waited until they are weary, who have persevered in the use of the means until they are becoming desponding and disappointed, let's look at this case of the impotent man at Bethesda. We notice about it first that the Savior knew the case. I only mention that in order to say that the Savior knows your case. Jesus saw him lie there. There were a great many objects for the Savior's eye to rest upon, but he fixed his gaze on this man, long bedridden, 38 years impotent. Even so, Jesus knows all about your case. He sees you lie just where you are tonight, impotent, without hope, without light, without faith. He sees you. I want you to feel this to be true. He singles you out amidst this throng, wherever you sit, and his eye is scanning you from head to foot. Nay, he looks within as well as without, and reads all that is in your heart. Concerning the man at the pool, Jesus knew that he had been a long time in that case. Oh, he knows the years you've been waiting. You remember being carried to the house of God by your mother. You recollect as a boy listening to sermons that seemed to startle you. and you went home to your little bedroom and cried to God for mercy, but you forgot your impressions. They were like the morning mist that vanishes in the rising sun. You came to London, you grew up to be a man. You became careless about divine things. You shook off all your early impressions. Still, you went to hear the word preached. Oftentimes, you half hoped that you might get a blessing. You heard the word, but faith was not mixed with what you heard, and so you missed the blessing. Yet still, you always had a wish that it should come to you. You never could despise godly people or the things of Christ. You could not get them for yourself. At least you thought you couldn't. But you always had some lingering wish that you were numbered with the people of God. Now the Lord Jesus knows all about that, and the many years in which you've been waiting as a hearer, but a hearer only, and not a doer of the word. Oh, impressed at times, but doing violence to your better feelings and going back to a careless life. My Lord knows all about you. I cannot pick you out in this congregation, but remember, while I am preaching tonight, miracles will be wrought. Processes which will change the very nature of men are going on within this house. For Christ is being preached. His gospel is being set forth. And this is not done with prayerful earnestness in vain. God will bless it. He's going to bless somebody tonight. Who that somebody may be, or how many hundred somebodies there will be, I cannot guess. But he will bless his own word. Why should he not bless you? He sees just who you are and where you are and what you are. In addition to this, our Lord knew all this poor man's disappointments. Many times when he had striven to get first to the water's edge and did think that he should be able to take the happy plunge, in went someone else before him. His hopes were gone. Another came up out of the water healed, and then, with a heavy sigh, he fell back upon his couch and felt that it might be a long time before the angel stirred the water again, and even then he might be disappointed again. He recollected the many times when he had lost all hope, and there he lay almost in despair. Now I think I hear someone here tonight saying, "My brother found the Lord. My friend who came with me here found the Lord. I've lived to see my mother die in sure and certain hope of glory. I have friends who have come to Christ. But I'm still living without him. When there were special services, I hoped that I might have been specially blessed. I've been to prayer meetings. I've read my Bible in secret. I've sometimes hoped, it was but a little hope, but still I hoped, maybe one of these days I may be healed." Yes, dear friend, and my Lord knows all about that. And he sympathizes in all the grief you feel tonight. He hears those unspoken wishes of yours. He knows your longing that you may be healed. Now, secondly, the Savior aroused the man's desires. He said to him, "Will you be made whole?" And there he lay. I'm not going to explain that lying at the pool, but just to apply it to you who are here in similar condition. Beware of forgetting why you are here. Beware of coming to the house of God and not knowing why you come. I've said that years ago, you went to places of worship in the hope of finding salvation. Well, you've kept on coming. And you've not found it? But do you now look for it? Have you not fallen into the habit of sitting and listening to sermons and prayers and so on without feeling that you came for anything special for yourself? You come and you go merely that you may attend a place of worship, that's all. The Savior would not let the impotent man lie there satisfied because he was by the pool. No, no, no. He said to him, "Why are you here? Have you not some desire Do you not want to be made whole? My dear hearer, I wish that you were able to say yes to this question. Have you come here tonight that your sin may be forgiven, that your soul may be renewed by divine grace, that you may meet with Christ? If so, I want to keep you to that point, and not to let you come and take a sitting here and come and come and come and come and be just like the door on its hinges out there, which turns in and turns out again, is not a bit the better for it. Oh, do not get into mere religious habits. Ritualistic habits, they will be to you, simple as the ritual will be. You come and you go, and you're satisfied. This will never do. Christ arouses your desire as he says, "Will you be made whole?" Also, avoid a despairing indifference. I remember two brothers and a sister who heard me preach for a considerable time, and they were in great distress of soul, but at the same time, they had a notion that they could not believe in Christ and that they must wait. I hardly know what for. And they did wait till they grew quite old. I did not know better people morally or better hearers so far as interest in what they heard was concerned, but they never seemed to get any farther. At last they got into this state. They seemed to feel as though if it was to be, it would be. If it was not to be, it would not be. And that all they could do was just to sit still and be quiet and patient. Patient under the apprehension of being lost forever? Why, I do not expect the man in the condemned cell to be happy and patient when he hears them putting up his gallows. He must be concerned. He must be uneasy. I did my best to make these friends uneasy, but I confess that I fear my efforts were attended with very small results. The Savior said to this man, "Will you be made whole? You seem to be in such a state of indifference that you do not care whether you are made whole or not." Oh, no worse condition than that can be found. It's so hard to deal with. God save you from a sullen indifference in which you leave yourselves to drift to destruction at the will of some unknown fate. I pray you to remember that it is yours to will. For Christ said to this man, "Will you be made whole?" You cannot make yourself whole, but you can will and wish to be made whole. God's Holy Spirit has given to many of you to will and to do according to his good pleasures. You will never be saved against your will. God drags nobody to heaven by the ears. There must be in you a willing mind consenting to the work of his sovereign grace. And if it be there, I want you to exercise it tonight. As Christ wished this man to exercise it, will you be made whole? Have you any wish that way, any desire or longing for healing? I want to stir this fire, make it burn. If there be only a spark of desire, I would breathe upon it and pray the Holy Spirit to breathe upon it, to make it into a great flame. Paul said, "To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I don't find." I believe that there are some here who have the will to be saved, and I thank God for that. Will you be made whole? I think that the Savior put this question for another reason, which I will turn into an exhortation. Forgo all prescribing as to how you are to be saved. The question is not, will you be put into that pool? No, but will you be made whole? The question is not, will you take this medicine? Will you that I should do this or that to you? But will you be made whole? Have you come to this, that you're willing to be saved in God's way? In Christ's way? One says, "I want to have a dream." Dear soul, do not want dreams. They're only dreams. Another says, I've got to see a vision. My dear friend, there's nothing in the plan of salvation about seeing visions. I want to hear a voice, says one. Well, hear my voice. And may God the Holy Ghost make you to hear the voice of his word through me. But I want, yes, you want. You know not what you want. Like many a silly child that has its fads and fancies and whims and wishes, oh, that all were willing to be saved by the simple plan of believe and live. If this is God's way, who are you that he should make a new way for you? When I had put the way of salvation before a friend some time ago, she turned to me and said, oh, sir, do pray for me. No, I said, I will not pray for you. Oh, but she said, how can you say that? I have set before you Christ crucified, and I've begged you to believe in him. If you will not believe in him, you'll be lost. And I shall not pray God to make any different way of salvation for you. You deserve to be lost if you will not believe in Christ. Well, I put it just so to her. And when she afterwards said, oh, I see it now. I do look to Christ. I trust him. Then I said, now I will pray for you. Now we can pray together and sing together if need be. Ah, but dear friends, do not set up your own notion about how you ought to be converted. Can you find any two people who were converted in the same way? God does not make converts as men make steel pens, gross in a box, all alike. Nay. But in each case, there's a living man created. Every living man, every living animal, every living plant is somewhat different from every other of its kind. And you must not look for uniformity in the work of regeneration. Will you be made whole? Come, do you desire the pardon of sin? Do you long for a new heart and a right spirit? If so, leave off disputing as to how you are to get them, and do what Christ tells you to do. Will you be made whole? It's as if the Savior said, be more than ever in earnest now. I know that you will to be made whole. Well now, will it more tonight than you've ever willed it before? Let the will which you have be exercised. Put it forth. You're in earnest to be saved. Be more in earnest tonight. You do desire to find Christ, well, desire to find Christ more tonight than ever you did in your life. You've come to an important crisis of your life. You may be at the point of death, who knows? How many have been suddenly struck down of late? If you would be made whole, I would that you might be made whole tonight. I pray that you may feel something pressing you, something that makes you end your long delay. Something that makes you feel, I have no more time to waste. I can't afford to loiter. I must be saved tonight. I must hear the distinct ticking of God's great clock that stands in the hall of grace and always says, now, 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 and never utters any other sound. Oh, may the Lord make it to be so by his own free grace. And so you see, the Savior aroused the desires of the man at the pool. He knew his case. He aroused his desires. We'll look at the third point next time. Thank God again for Charles Spurgeon. There are other men on this website I hope you'll go looking for. Just click on series and see the things that are there. And please do visit my new blog. It's at criesfromamongus.com. You're going to be a little surprised, but among some people in the church, there are things going on that shouldn't be. And we're not judging people. We're not being overly critical. We're listening to the cries, literally the cries of people who are there and who have been there, who want us to do something, to say something, to pray something. Please join me And leave a comment while you're over there, will you? Criesfromamongus.com. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk very soon. Bye-bye.